When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
KBJ Aperture Podcast.
Kevin's eyes look insane, but he's got new hair. Virginia is a witch, and she farts in her chair. Jason is a spaz who's got an old man's ass. Welcome to the After the Show Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the KBJ After the Show Podcast for Friday. Jay Bird was burning up after the regular show, and so he has exited the studio to go home and try to take care of himself.
I do not need any kind of germs messing up my Jazz Fest weekend.
Yeah, you are hopping on a plane. You are going to New Orleans.
Yeah. With my sisters and my girlfriend, Franny.
Fun.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to tear it up.
Okay. What time do you leave? What time do you return? And what acts are you seeing?
So I leave today at like 7 p.m. out of Fort Lauderdale, straight flight to New Orleans. We get in and we immediately hit Frenchman Street tonight.
Okay.
Catching some live music down there.
Where is that in comparison to your Bourbon Street that everybody knows?
So if you're in the French Quarter and you are looking at Jackson Square, you're looking at the cathedral head on. The Frenchman Street action is going to be to your right. So if you keep walking all the way down Bourbon Street to the far end, past the fun gay section, keep going, go over Esplanade Avenue, you'll eventually run into Frenchman Street, and that's where all the good music is.
Oh, really? Okay, that's good to know.
Yes.
That's what I would love to see. I think that's where I've graduated to now if I went back to New Orleans.
Yes, I'm too old for Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
So Frenchman Street is where it's at.
Okay.
And then tomorrow we'll hit the fest, and we'll see Chris Stapleton at 5:20.
Amazing. That's fantastic.
We'll see Vampire Weekend after that, right around. They start around 5:45.
Okay.
And then Fantasia also hitting the stage tomorrow night.
Look at you. That's amazing.
I'm so excited.
You said the Killers are on stage tonight, so you're going to miss that.
Yes, the Killers are playing tonight. They played last night at Tipitina's, which is such an amazing place to go see a live show uptown in New Orleans, but only holds like, you know, a few hundred people.
Right.
Maybe 1,000. I don't know. The upstairs.
That's amazing. I couldn't imagine seeing the Killers in that kind of venue. That's unbelievable.
The tickets sold out in the blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. And then you said next weekend the Foo Fighters play at the Jazz Fest in New Orleans.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones play on Thursday.
That's crazy.
Foo Fighters play on Friday. Hozier plays on Friday.
Okay.
Saturday, you got Queen Latifah, Greta Van Fleet.
No way. Greta Van Fleet?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. You're one of my favorites, too.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Neil Young.
Wow.
Then on Sunday, wrapping it all up, you got Earth, Wind, and Fire, Bonnie Raitt, and Trombone Shorty, Kermit Ruffins. Like.
So this weekend, you've got Jazz Fest in New Orleans. Next weekend is Sunfest.
Yes. I always go the first weekend of Jazz Fest because it's the second weekend. Here, I do the Kentucky Derby party at the Palm Beach Kennel Club and Sunfest and all that. Yeah.
Well, with Jaybird out and with Sunfest coming up next weekend, we got a very special friend of the KBJ show to step in here. She's going to be performing at Sunfest next week. And man, we go back to 2012 was the year that Wellington's Cassidy Pope was on season 3 of The Voice. And The Voice came to South Florida for that whole thing where they show your hometown. And she grew up listening to the KBJ show. And so they came by our studios when we were at Wild 95.5. And they did a whole piece on that. And then I still remember we were down doing a performance on the West Palm Beach waterfront. And I remember being in a street trolley with Cassidy. I was like, well, this is just so odd. I don't know if she still remembers that. And then they zipped us down the street. I think it was around Christmas, if I remember right.
Yes, I think it was.
And that was featured on The Voice. And then she goes on and absolutely crushes it. In fact, this is a fun little trivia fact for you. She wound up being mentored by Blake Shelton on the show, if you don't remember her on The Voice back in 2012. But in the third live round, she performed Over You, which was co-written by Blake Shelton. And it had, you know, personal meaning for he and Miranda Lambert had done it. He was married to back in the day.
Oh.
The song reached number one on the iTunes chart. In the song, it knocked out of the number one spot. You remember Gangnam Style?
Yeah.
That was the song that she dethroned.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. A fun little factoid there for Cassidy Pope. And I see she is hanging on. She's in Tennessee, which is where she is now. But she joins us here on the After the Show. Hello, Cassidy. How the heck are you?
Hi, I'm so good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Gosh, it is just, it's been so long.
I know that all of that, I remember it all so vividly. I was so excited to meet you and a big fan of the show. I've always been listening to you both since childhood. Aww. And getting to come back during The Voice was really special. So thanks for being a part of that.
Tell me about the journey, because, you know, there's been 12 years that have passed since we had you on to now. And I'm just kind of curious, because the experiences you've had in the last 12 years, it's pretty big. I mean, here you are. You're a small town girl from Wellington, and each stage of fame, what was that like for you? And I know that, you know, you'd had your other band that you had been working on and you were kind of experiencing that, but as mm-hmm. your career started to grow, what was it like coming from where you had been, and how much had it been changing your life? What was that process like?
It was a roller coaster. You know, after the show, you're kind of thrust into the public eye and it's like, okay, everyone knows who you are. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure that you strike while the iron's hot, get an album out as soon as possible, get music out as soon as possible. And I was actually the last season of The Voice that only did one season a year. From then on, it was two seasons a year. Mm-hmm. So I had a little bit of time to kind of milk my win.
That's cool.
Yeah, but it was definitely an adjustment, you know, coming, like you said, coming from my band, Hey Monday. We did rock tours. We were just a rock band that just like we were on tour constantly. And then going from that to, you know, only touring every weekend, doing the kind of the country thing, was different. And really trying to prove myself as an artist who writes music and has had a career before The Voice, that was important to me, to just make sure people knew that The Voice was a stop along the way. It wasn't what I wanted to be known for forever. And I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud of the win, but I also am really proud of like being able to kind of have a career after that. There's a stigma with The Voice and being a winner from The Voice and nobody ever blowing up. And, you know, I'm nowhere near as like huge as Carrie Underwood, but I'm definitely proud of what I've accomplished and have had success in the country space. And now I'm back in the rock space, which has been really fun.
Tell me about getting into the country space, because that was the one thing when you went with Blake Shelton as your mentor at that time. You know, country, they seem like they want authenticity. And, you know, Wellington, I know you got horses there, but it's not, you know, I mean, it's not.
It's not Texas.
It ain't, yeah.
Right.
It ain't really country. And, you know, here you are for 10 years, you're in the space. And it seemed like they hooked you up with the right people. And that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
Like to have songwriters, I think, typically in country. And it's tough to do that. Did you have your songs where they thrust on you and said, all right, here's your song, you have to perform this?
No, thankfully that was not the case. So I chose Blake because of his coaching style, not for a genre. Like literally going into the show, I thought, I'm going to see where this goes. I have no idea where I'm going after this. I did not expect to win. It was just all kind of crazy to me. So after the show finished, I had the choice between going to, you know, the New York Universal Records label or going to Nashville. And at the time, Nashville had, you know, Taylor Swift was going pop, but she was still on the label I would be signed to. The band Perry had If I Die Young crossing over. Yeah. Florida mm-hmm. Georgia Line was getting huge. So something really cool was happening in Nashville that I felt like I could fit in there, and I didn't feel like I could fit in where pop music was at the time, which, like you said, Gangnam Style was number one during that time. Definitely not the same kind of vibe I have.
What was that? What were we thinking?
I mean, I will say it got stuck in my head quite a bit, but
it did. It did. I just feel wrong for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I grew up singing country music. My voice coach, okay, when I was growing up, you know, she would always have me sing Martina McBride and Trisha Yearwood. And
yeah.
So it's definitely a part of my upbringing, and my family are very big country music fans. Okay. So while yes, my upbringing wasn't in, you know, a Southern place, it definitely was something that was a part of my makeup and a part of my upbringing. But yeah, I had a lot of creative freedom. The only problem was, when I finished the show, I had a lot of creative freedom in my album and everything. The problem was, once that steam from the show ended, it was really hard to get the label to let me continue to do my thing. It was almost like everybody was very precious about making sure that every song was a hit instead of just letting me like build a career, you know? So that's when it started to get a bit hairy.
Well, you did have good success. 10 years you spent in the country space. You were nominated for a Grammy, the song Think of You that you did with Chris Young, and he is a massive country star. I assume that your handlers just put that together and said, here's your song. Is that how that went?
No, actually, I sang, I love handlers. That's hilarious. I sang a radio show. And it was at the country station in, I think it was actually in West Palm or maybe Fort Lauderdale. I sang a radio show with Chris Young. It was like a writer's round where we all were on stage going one after the other. And he liked my voice, and he just happened to have Think of You kind of waiting for a duet partner. So his team got in touch with my team. Yep. They sent me the song, and I was like, this is amazing. I love this song. And so I sang on it, not really knowing if it was going to be a single or whatever. Next thing I know, it's a single. We're doing a music video and all these nominations. And it was like a very fast number one too. It just like flew up the chart. So it was just wild, but I loved the song. And it was just, I thankfully no one forced me to do it. It was something that I loved when I first heard it.
So now you're getting out of the country, going back to your roots, more the pop punk type of sound. Now, my curiosity is about leaving. I can understand that there is a part of you that, hey, that's just your natural calling, and maybe it feels most natural to you. But you'd made a comment to Rolling Stone that part of the reason that you had left country was due to the racist and sexist politics that were associated with the genre. What kind of stuff did you see? Is that, would you say that was a driving force? How much did that play in you making the change?
I think, you know, there were a lot of reasons, and I'll address that for sure. But I just wasn't listening to it anymore. Mm. I think the more it got kind of back to the traditional country sound, which I understand is iconic, and it's what the genre kind of was built on. It's just not really my thing. I'm a pop kid. I love the pop country stuff. I grew up listening to Shania and everything. So it just got more and more away from what I love. The overall climate there, especially right now, is really tense. I think there are two divisions of country music right now. There's the people that are super conservative, who believe that, you know, country music should be a certain way. Songs shouldn't be singing about like life experiences, like, you know, sexuality or, you know, experiences for Black people, brown people, everybody, you know, it's always like blue eyes and blonde hair. And so it's just, I think that it's okay to sing about that stuff if that's your experience. But when someone else is singing about theirs and it's not pertaining to the predominantly white crowd that country music has, it's deemed not country. And it's, that's not country. It's just, we have created this fan base and this standard for country music that is only appealing to a certain demographic. And so I saw it a lot as far as just, you know, I have friends who are incredible and just so happen to be Black, and their music, it's very, very hard to get their music on the radio. It's very hard for them to get record deals. I think because country radio is such a huge driving force in the genre still, you know, that's why so many people get shut out. I think when, you know, I've ever spoken out about something I support, like I support the queer community. I support the Black Opry, which is an amazing company here who are lifting up Black country artists. And they're basically the Opry, but specifically for Black artists. The pushback is crazy. And it just kind of made it more obvious to me that over the years, because I felt like I was pretty complicit and didn't really speak out on anything, fans became a part of my fan base, not really understanding what I stand for. And that's okay. And I'm not trying to overcorrect and alienate people. All I'm trying to do now is just be super honest about my beliefs and fundamental values. And I want my shows to feel safe for everyone. So
good for you. Yeah. Because as a white woman, you have so much power to shine a light on racism. And as a non-gay person, I have so much power to shine a light on homophobic statements and positions. And I think if more of us that aren't necessarily in the community stood up and said, no, we're not going to deal with racism, we're not going to allow the racism, we're not going to allow the anti-gay rhetoric, as people that aren't in that community, it does ring loud. Good for you. Good for
you. Thank you. Yeah. Everything I've learned over the last, I feel like social issues and everything has sort of been something I've been learning about and opened my eyes to only over the last like 4-ish years. And one of the things is, you know, if you're the oppressor, then it's really powerful when you get involved, because, you know, it's everybody in these marginalized groups that have been saying this for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless we get involved, nothing changes. So
true.
I agree with you.
Tell me, what is your take on Beyonce's country album then? Is it just making the impact it is because it's Beyonce, or is this something that will forever change the genre? Or is it just a flash in the pan and then we go back to normal in another 6 weeks?
I mean, I hope that it changes the genre. I think it's an amazing record. I think she included Friends, which I am like, they totally didn't tell me they were on it until it came out. And I just screamed in my living room and texted Britney Spencer. I was like, I'm sorry, what? I think it's amazing. And I think, obviously it being Beyonce, it's going to have an impact. But she drives culture. She changes culture. It's so amazing to see the amount of people having, even just with her putting out this album, Western themed parties and Western, you know, vacations that they want to go to these Western places. It's just like it's very interesting to see her impact on culture. But I hope it does change the genre. I think people, like you said, sniff out authenticity, and she is a Southern woman. You know, she's a country woman. She's from Texas, isn't
she's
she?
Texas, yes. Yeah. She is so, absolutely.
Yeah. So you can't say she's not country. You can say that, yes, she just so happens to be very talented and can do all these different genres. But you know, I think you. People are telling on themselves when they hate on the record and say it's not country. I think it all stems back to racism and not liking things changing when Black people literally built the genre, if you look back at history. So I love it. I hope that it's, I don't think it's a flash in the pan. So
good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. you're heading back into the pop punk world. Denny's, do I have a thumbs up that we can play these? I know I'd asked you. If we ever play any kind of music, Cassidy, on the podcast, it just gets destroyed. Like, they take it down and all.
Oh, no.
We think we're able to play. Can I play
the songs? Your handlers do that, Cassidy? Is it your
handlers? My handler said that it's okay.
Okay. We're going to give it a shot here because I want people to hear what's going on. And I love what you did. Now, arguably, would Wasting All These Tears on You, would that have been your second biggest country hit, would you say?
That's definitely accurate. Yeah. Okay. I re-recorded it.
It's so great that you have taken it. Yeah. If you want to hear it, this is the re-recorded version that she has done. It's got such a good hook here. If you don't know this song, this is Cassidy Pope here. I think I'm hearing maybe a little Yellow Card in there. Kind of got that maybe that vibe. Is that what you're feeling over there, Virginia?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm hearing Avril. I'm hearing let me give it to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's give it a little extra oomph, you know?
Uh-huh. It should. That's a nice sound.
Yeah, it's a great hook, a great sounding song. I want to run through a few of these so that people are familiar with your music. When you take the stage on Sunday at Sunfest here, this is People That I Love Leave. When did this song, when did you release this? And what's a little bit of the story on this one, Cassidy?
I released this one in April of last year, so 2023. It's basically explaining the fact that when you have had letdowns and you have had failed relationships, failed friendships, whatever it may be, entering into a new relationship can be super daunting. And it almost feels like you self-sabotage and you say, okay, this isn't going to work out, so I'm just going to like mess it up. And you might not say that actually in your head, but it ends up happening. So I wrote this with my friend, Ali Tamposi, who's a big songwriter now. We grew up together in West Palm. We went to St. Anne's.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we wrote this in LA with some great writers there.
Okay. People That I Love Leave. I don't want to say I love you. It's People That I Love Leave. That's cool. Very nice.
Thank
love
you.
Well, yeah. And you also did kind of a social media challenge with this song, Eye Contact.
Yeah. I tried. I don't know. It's just like one of those things where every song needs to have some sort of viral thing. And I gave it a shot, but
it's interesting how they market that. I noticed that Taylor Swift, she had done for Fortnite. It was kind of a little mashup of everything she'd done over the last month. And by the way, I noticed it didn't seem, you see anybody doing that Fortnite Taylor Swift thing, Virginia?
No,
I haven't either. So yeah, I think it's tough to sometimes get these things to take.
it's tricky.
It is. And I don't stick with it. I'm like, I try it for a week and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. So it's partly my fault.
Okay. So this is Eye Contact. You said you'd never tell me goodbye. You're right in the dark. I guess you were right. All the songs sound, they've got really good, strong hooks. You're really nailing it. I think it sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to be in the crowd cheering really loud at Sunfest.
Mm-hmm. Yay! Thank you. Well, I'll be playing all these songs. So,
nice. Am I ruining anything if I play a little bit of your new one? Do you mind?
No. Okay. Ooh, no.
You're
exclusive.
Oh, you're okay. Well, okay.
Are you breaking a song over there, Kevin? Well,
I didn't want to do it because I always do stuff and like I get a call from a lady. They're like, you asshole. That was intended for, you're not supposed to do that. And then
are her handlers going to call you?
I don't want to. Yeah, the handlers. That's why I say the handlers. I don't want to deal with handlers, Cassidy. If you got them.
No. You do it. I couldn't think of a better place to give a sneak peek. This is really cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is not really dropping until what? May 1st, I believe, right?
May 1st, yes.
Okay. All right. So check this out. This is Cassidy Pope here. This is the new one coming out. Okay. This is not really dropping until what? May 1st, I believe, right?
Oh, hold
May
on. Hold 1st.
On, hold on. Oh, wait, I'm hearing.
I don't know why that was playing. Like
you're
that.
Repeating yourself.
I know. Okay. Right, here we go. One more try. All right. Who the hell are these people? I wish we wanted to leave at the same time. You seem to think that you need them,
You always need validation you can't find. It's the end of the night and our car's outside. It'd be nice to be alone sometimes.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's got a great sound, doesn't it?
Your voice sounds so good on those vocals.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, we took a bit more of a delicate approach to that one because the subject matter is a bit more personal, and I think
I like
it'll,
it.
Yeah, it'll touch a lot of people.
It sounds like we're mad at a man, and I'm always in for that. So, girl.
I mean, you just have to wait and see. You just have to wait and see.
I don't know how it ends, but I like the way it starts.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate
doing big things. You're doing a musical now, I believe, in Franklin, Tennessee, where you live. Just, you're a little south of Nashville, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'll be in Franklin. I live in Nashville, but the musical will be in Franklin. It's based off of the movie A Walk to Remember. So big fan of the early 2000s movies. So it's a beautiful tribute to that. A lot of music from that era, like Switchfoot and Mandy Moore and Acceptance. Oh, cool. So mm-hmm. it's
nice.
It's
fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my son is in, I think it's Hermitage. You know, you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Town? Okay.
Oh yeah. It's not far. It's not far.
All right.
So he should come to the show.
You know what? I will absolutely let him know.
He loves the show.
He does. He loves theater.
He is big into that kind of stuff. What's the name of the show, babe?
The name is Only Hope.
Only Hope.
Only Hope. And
okay.
Can you tell me where it's playing in Nashville? And I'm going to let him know.
It will be at the Franklin Theater. And it's tonight through Sunday. I will be on Saturday and Sunday.
Gotcha.
Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to let him know. Like, if you have any plans this weekend, cancel them.
Yeah.
Daddy's
a musical.
Yes. How's your mom doing, by the way?
She's good. She says hi. She was okay. Like, I don't know if they'll remember me, but tell them I said hi.
Aww.
She'll be there at Sunfest as well. She's flying in.
Very cool. Okay, you're on the Ideal Nutrition stage. It is going to be Sunday, May 5th. You take the stage at 2:30. They're going to let you play for 45 minutes. So do not show up late so we can hear all the songs that we just tracked through. Cassidy, it's so good talking to you. And I'm so happy with all your success and what you've been doing the last 12 years. You made us all very proud.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, thank you for all your support from day one. Truly appreciate it. So good talking to you guys.
Always cool. All right, we'll see you next Sunday, okay?
Sounds good. I'll see you.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
She's so sweet.
Yeah, the absolute best. Cassidy Pope. Very cool to get her back on. A few shout outs that people want to do. In fact, since Cassidy is from Wellington, they want a little shout out here for the Wellington Varsity Girls Tennis Team. They're making the States. Never been done before.
That's true. They did. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Want to give a little bit of love for that. And also Nicole wanted a little shout out for her 10th wedding anniversary to my wonderful husband, Chad. Been quite an adventure. Can't wait to see what's in the next 10 years of our future.
So woo-hoo. There
you go. They're going to a mini vacation at the mansion after work.
Nice.
Nice to be able to go to a mansion.
Oh,
yeah. I love that as well. All right. Well, y'all have a great weekend. We'll go check on the bird, make sure he's doing okay. Thank y'all for being here. We'll be back with you hopefully on Monday. We'll see how the bird's feeling. Virginia's out of town. You'll be back on Tuesday, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. I'll still be at Jazz Fest. I'll be nursing a mean hangover on Monday.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I know you like to fly in last minute and sleep for like 2 hours and then come in.
Not this weekend. Okay. This is the first time I've ever taken a Monday.
Nice. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you on Tuesday. Y'all have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Goodbye.